Welcome to the Spiritual Rabbit Hole, a podcast with spiritual mediums Nicole, Kristen, and Kalenda.
Join us as we tap into the spiritual realm, explore the mysteries of the universe, and guide you on a journey of self-discovery.
Get ready to open your mind and connect with something greater than yourself. Let's dive into the Spiritual Rabbit Hole.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to our podcast.
Hey there.
I think I said podcast.
Podcast.
I mean, they
welcome
they
to the podcast.
I'm leaving this in right away.
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, they get the gist. They know.
Yeah, yeah. Today we're exploring the fascinating world of meditation.
You guys have been waiting for this one,
right?
It's been pushing, coming. We're shoving this down your throats. We're just going to keep going.
Hell yeah. It's a practice people can do to find inner peace and all-around well-being. So let's get started, ladies.
Yes, let's get started. So meditation is a practice that's aimed at training your mind. It's all about inducing a state of heightened awareness, relaxation, and inner peace. It's really rooted in diverse cultural and spiritual traditions because meditation encompasses various techniques that encourage focused attention, mindfulness, and contemplation.
Yes, and at meditation's core, it involves cultivating a deep state of awareness. Practices typically include focused attention, mindfulness, and relaxation, allowing you to be in the present moment. By fostering a calm and concentrated state, meditation provides a space for self-reflection, inner exploration, and a break from the constant mental chatter. Yes. And the more you meditate, the easier that becomes. And all of this can help promote your personal development and improve your overall well-being.
Yes.
Yep. Meditation is a rich tapestry of practices and traditions, from ancient spiritual ritual to contemporary secular techniques. These diverse approaches, rooted in cultures worldwide, share a common goal of training the mind and fostering inner harmony, whether drawing from Buddhist mindfulness, Hindu contemplation, or modern mindfulness-based stress reduction, all the different paths of meditation cater to a global audience seeking clarity, presence, and well-being.
Yes. So there's a lot of misconceptions about meditation. Some people believe meditation is only for the spiritually inclined. But really, meditation is a universal practice that anyone of any background can benefit from for improving their mental well-being, reducing their stress, and growing personally.
Yes. And another myth is that meditation requires completely emptying the mind. And I think that expectation of people kind of makes them shy away from it. Like they think, oh, I just can't clear my mind. And so I'm not even going to try.
Try out. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, our minds have like, it's like 60 to 70,000 thoughts a day. Like it's meant to keep going.
That's it. I feel like as a mom of three and a business owner.
That's like maybe the average or lower end, but you're right. But it's really about having awareness and focus. And it's not always about eliminating thoughts. Now, sometimes for me, if I acknowledge my stressors right away when I first start, like, okay, I'm stressed or thinking about these things, but I'm going to put them to the side. Sometimes that helps me be able to refocus, you know, and just kind of be in the moment that, okay, I acknowledge these, but I'm going to put them to the side right now. Anyway, so that's a little tip.
I don't like to tell people push out the thoughts. I think it's important what you're saying to acknowledge it.
Yes.
Because the more you deny a thought, the more it will try to force its way in. So a practice that I developed a long time ago, and I forget where I got it from, if it was from guys or if I read it somewhere. If a thought comes into my head while I'm trying to meditate, I visualize it on a piece of paper in my mind, and then I crumple up that paper and I toss it into
a wastebasket,
either behind me or somewhere like out of sight.
Right.
Or like maybe into a bowl of like a barrel of fire, something where I don't need to think about this right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's put this away somewhere else. If you want to file it away in a file, that's fine. Whatever works for you. But visualizing, okay, I look at it, I'm aware of it, there's nothing I could do about this right now, let me put it away for now.
Yes. Yeah. I do the trash bag or a big whiteboard, and then I imagine erasing the whole whiteboard, which is really satisfying to even just imagine erasing all the crap from my mind. So anyway, I love that. There's all those different methods or visualizations that you can. But anyway, meditation is about observing thoughts also without attachment. So if a thought does arise once you are kind of in that state, it's okay and just let it go. You don't have, mm-hmm. you know, not bringing an emotion to it, right? Just, okay, I see it and it's going to float away.
So many believe that meditation serve only spiritual or religious purposes. While meditation has roots in various spiritual tradition, it has practical applications for stress management, improving concentration, and enhancing overall mental and emotional well-being. It is a versatile tool for anyone regardless of their spiritual beliefs.
Absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm. So there are some health benefits to meditation. Meditation mm-hmm. has proven effective in reducing stress and managing anxiety by promoting relaxation, a heightened state of mindfulness. Through mindful awareness and controlled breathing, meditation can help regulate the stress response, leading to a calmer and more balanced mental state. My husband and I were recently at the doctor because he had a medical situation a couple months ago, and it's led to him quitting smoking, which I'm so grateful. And it's wonderful, but he's lost some coping mechanisms. Mm. So we were at the doctor and we were asking, okay, what are some tools? Because we didn't want to go straight to medication, right?
Right.
And we were like, what are some tools that we could both use to reduce the stress of him having quit smoking? And she actually strongly recommended meditation and mindfulness.
Oh, nice. Good for that doctor.
Yeah.
That was great. Yeah. That's great that they are acknowledging that more. And we talked a little bit about this in the last episode too, right? How it's the medical community is really, you know, being way more open to these kind of concepts.
Oh, yeah.
So regular meditation enhances cognitive focus and concentration. So when you meditate, you are training your mind to stay present and resist distractions. And when you continually practice that, in meditation, it's kind of like building a muscle strength, right? Like you're building that strength in your mind to when you have times where you could be distracted or you might need to focus when you're not meditating, it's easier to get into that state, right? And not get distracted. You can pull yourself back into that. And it can also help you experience heightened attention and improved cognitive performance in various tasks when you train your brain that way.
Meditation contributes to physical well-being, with studies showing reduced blood pressure and improved sleep patterns. The calming effects of meditation positively impacts the body's overall health, fostering better sleep quality and cardiovascular function.
So there's actually science behind meditation. Numerous studies have utilized neuroimaging techniques such as MRIs to show structural changes in the brain that are associated with meditation. Meditation can actually induce neuroplastic changes, particularly in regions related to attention, memory, and emotional regulation, highlighting the brain's adaptability and capacity for growth.
Yeah, I love that word neuroplastic. You know, that means molding, right? It can be molded and changed.
I know, it makes me think of how they do mindfulness in some elementary schools now.
Yeah.
You know, the tapping and everything meditations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, yes, get them when they're young.
Yeah.
Teach them, give them these tools, learning how to cope, learning how
to
work with their brain.
Yeah. Because back then, well, I remember, okay, I'm like in my 40s, guys. So I don't think I remember learning anything about meditation or anything.
No.
Like any coping technique.
No. Actually. I am also in my 40s. I'm 45 to be exact. And emotions get in the way. Push past the emotion and keep moving forward.
Stop crying.
Stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about.
Yep, exactly. That's all the Hawaii thing. Like, right there.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in between. Well, I'm almost 40. We didn't do meditation, but I feel like when we were young, they just started really pushing like positivity a little more like that campaign against bullying, like really revved up when we were younger. I remember learning all about bullies and I was like, ooh, I can identify a bully, you know, but it's like that same thing, trying to foster a kindness more and putting that as something to concentrate on. But they didn't do that back then before.
That's
that.
Amazing because like my generation, probably this might be the same thing, right? Our generation. Yeah. bullies were like character building.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what, oh, it's good. You get, now you can learn how to deal with bullies in life because you'll have bullies all through your life. You got to figure that. So yeah,
it's strong. It,
you got to learn how to either kick ass or get your ass kicked is really what you would learn back then.
Right. Right. But don't cry about it.
Yeah.
Don't you dare shed a tear. Because I'm going to whoop you.
That. Right? Yeah. That is true.
If somebody hits you, you better hit back. You know, that's what my parents used to raise kids. It's so hard to raise kids. Completely different from how you grew.
I know.
I mean, look at all the generation now, though. So, you know,
did you ever get the thing? You can't hit somebody first, but you can sure as heck hit them back. That was the line I got.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Somebody hits you, you have to hit them back.
But you don't hit them first. You'll never get in trouble as long as you don't hit them first.
Yeah, that's not true. That's not true.
Now
anymore.
It's not. No. But it's you know, I'm mixed with that because you want your kid to still defend themselves if somebody was hurting them. Right? Yeah. You would want them to at least push them to get them off. But then you're like, well, how much trouble are they going to get in doing that? You know?
It depends. I think it depends on how old they are.
But that's true because I remember back then when you got the fake punch, right? The fake punch and then they start punching
you. Do for flinching.
So I was like, I'm not punching you back. You punch me first.
So you know she's like, I'm going to knock you out if you punch me.
Right. Go ahead. Just give you one chance.
Yeah. You better knock me out or you better start running. So scientific research suggests meditation influences the autonomic nervous system, promoting balance between the sympathetic, flight or fight, or parasympathetic, which is rest and digest. We talked a little bit about that also in our last episode. So if you didn't listen, make sure you do. It's all about science and all things spirituality, but we do mention meditation. Mm-hmm. Meditation,
like
has,
we do in every episode.
Yes. Yeah. Meditation's just in everything we do. Yes. So, okay. Meditation has been linked to a reduction in cortisol levels, which is your body's stress hormone that is released, which can, if you have too much of that, can wreak havoc on your body. And lowering that can contribute to your overall well-being.
Yes.
So scientific investigation consistently demonstrate the holistic impact of meditation on mental health, including reduced symptoms of depression and anxiety and enhanced emotional regulation. Studies indicate that regular meditation practice is associated with sustained improvements in mental well-being and cognitive function, showcasing the enduring benefits of contemplative practices.
Okay, so we have a few practical tips for the beginners that are trying meditation for the first time. So when you're trying it for the first time, start with brief sessions and then gradually extend the duration as comfort and familiarity grow. You don't want to try to do an hour-long meditation the first time you try.
Yeah, do a minute.
You're gonna go mad.
You're gonna hate
it. You're
gonna
get mad. You're gonna get so angry.
Yeah.
Start with, 5 minutes to 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, no joke. And then go move up to 30. And even if you don't even have to go past 15 minutes if you're good with 15 minute meditation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I used to do a minute, like my first meditation. I used to go to the beach and just sit there when I came in and just try this bitch. So I closed my eyes and then everything was just bothering me because all you hear people laughing, going to the water. So I was like, okay, a minute is good. And then I got used to it and then just zone out everything else. I'm like, oh, 2 minutes, yeah. Ooh, 5 minutes. And then an hour.
Like saying G's been on the beach like
2 hours and I got sunburned.
3 days later.
But it did do 2 hours and this one, three people were like coming up to me and said, are you meditating? I'm like, yeah. She goes, could you hear us? I'm going, no. I couldn't hear you guys. It's like, oh, wow, you're so cool. I'm like, yeah.
You're so cool.
She's like, yeah.
2 hours, bro. See, nowadays, that's what
I'm the shit. Look at me.
I'm a 2 hour meditator, baby.
Yeah.
Like, you should put that in like your singles profile.
Yeah. Right. Advanced level.
She's like,
hours.
I can go for a long time.
Meditation pro.
What else tips we got?
Make sure that when you are meditating, you use your breath as an anchor for your attention.
Yes.
That's a big part of why you breathe, not just because a lot of people don't breathe correctly, but What it does is it helps focus your attention off of wild thoughts and brings you back into yourself.
Yeah. And it keeps you from being distracted by external stuff too.
Yes. It allows, like you said, when you know you're in the zone, when everything else starts fading, you don't notice other things around you. Now, I want to add though, so, and I don't know if you guys experienced this too, like when you first started meditating, because there's a difference between meditation to just clear your thoughts and then meditation to eventually connect with spirit, right? Mm-hmm. There's a difference. And we'll talk about that later. But when I first started meditating to connect with spirit, like once I could finally clear my mind, then it was like overwhelming because I could feel all the spirits around me that I never noticed were there prior. Mm-hmm. Did you ever experience that? I'll take that as a no.
Me and G are just kind of looking up, like trying to figure out if we – I'm not sure. I mean,
I don't.
Do you mean like the overwhelm of the energies?
Yes. It was like I could feel a wall of people in front of me all of a sudden because I had never done it before. And the first time I – like it freaked me out and I stopped and I opened my eyes because it was like, oh, that's way too much.
I don't know. I think I've always been in a very crowded space.
Yeah.
Even when I'm by myself. So I don't know if I've
– Well, I've had that too, but it was like times 100. You know what I mean?
I don't know if I've ever had that.
Yeah, same. Because I always used to all the energies around me. That's why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from like the living and spirit.
Yeah. My mentor would always ask me, like, when you drive your car, do you feel like you're by yourself? I go, no. I was like, see.
I know. I'm always looking in my rearview mirror.
Yeah. They're always with you. I was like, you don't feel alone. I go, no, I don't.
I've experienced the opposite of what you just said, where I've meditated and pushed out and set boundaries so well, that I feel alone, and that shit's scary.
Oh, because like you're so used to feeling people.
Yeah.
See, I'm so used to being so scatterbrained and busy in my mind that when I'm not meditating, like I can really not notice anything around me for a while. Until I like sit and do that, you know, that's why meditation for me is so important.
Right, we all different.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, because we all of us work a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
Our brains work differently. The way we process information works differently. The way we receive spiritual and energetic information is different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there are times I do feel things, but when I'm busy and stuff like that,
well, and that just goes to show you that meditation can be used for all kinds of different things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just about calming the mind. It's not just about connecting with spirit. It can allow you to relax in the sense that you don't feel like there's constantly energy around you, or it can bring clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or I pass out sometimes.
That's the best kind of meditation, man. You know, when you first start, this is another practical tip. When you first start learning to meditate and you fall asleep, you're doing it right.
Yeah. Yeah. You are.
Just keep trying. Because I remember that happens to you a lot, Kristen. Especially
Once I got comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And I was comfortable.
We were like, just do it. Just fall asleep. That's exactly your body needs it.
Yeah.
And then try again tomorrow.
But then I'm already open. So when I fall asleep, I get all kinds of information from all over and it's very confusing. And I'm like, what? Who's that? I don't know what this means, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably because when you fall asleep, you're in that meditative intention of being receptive to information.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's your intention for your sleep, unfortunately.
I know. Well, and it's like I'm trying to get a guide message and I'll start to get one and then I doze off and then that's when I get all kinds of jumbled stuff. So if that happens, it's okay. Like you said, sometimes you just need more sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do.
And sometimes we need to be in that such a relaxed state to be receptive to information and guidance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of us are so like wanting to control things sometimes, or like I have to see it this way, it has to be done this way, that we miss the whole message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the times.
So sometimes we might have to be asleep in order to get the message.
That is true. Or that's the times when we get the most random cool stuff. When we're not trying to be like, okay, I want to hear this from my spirit guide.
Yeah.
It's when we get the, like, for me, it was like that random past life experience that I saw I just was like, show me what I need to see. And then it was like, boom, I'm in this other time period. I have this, you know, all these people around me that are from that time period. And I see this whole scene. It's like, those are the times where really cool stuff happens.
And sometimes there are thoughts that come up. And yes. Those thoughts, we should observe them without judgment.
Right.
Just gently bring attention back to the present moment, acknowledging distraction without frustration. So
yes.
We all know that our minds are constantly thinking, bringing up things.
And it's okay.
Bring back to center. Yeah, it's okay. So, but it just bring back to the center, to your breathing, and you'll stay focused from there.
Yeah, don't get mad at yourself if like the grocery list pops up when you're trying to meditate.
Yeah.
Or your to-do list. Acknowledge it. Brush it aside, say, I'll get back to that. Sometimes some people need to keep a notepad next to them.
Oh, yeah.
If you need to get it out physically and write it out so that you know, okay, I won't forget it. It's on a piece of paper. It no longer has to live in my head. Mm-hmm. Do that or put it in your phone, whatever you need to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the best tip that we can give you as you start out meditating for the first time is establish a regular practice. And this will help you experience like all of the benefits of mindfulness meditation over time. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just try it a couple times, you're not giving yourself the opportunity. You want to try it. Like what I tell a lot of clients, like I had a development session today and she's like, I want to understand what's the best way to connect with my spiritual team, my ancestors, and with spirits. I'm like, honestly, set aside 15 to 30 minutes a day. If you can't do it every day, do it 3 to 5 times a week and then build your way up if you can. If you can only do it twice 1 week and you can do it 7 times the next, that's fine. Give yourself a month of consistently trying to meditate before you say, I can't do it.
Right. Yeah. Well, or even when they did the studies to see like the physiological changes, it was 8 weeks.
Yeah.
So I say make it a habit. And what makes a habit is consistently, like you said, 30 days. It's a daily routine. Do it like you're brushing your teeth.
Yeah. And if you can't do 15 to 30 minutes, do 5 to 10 minutes. Yeah. Whatever works for you. It's just the act of developing a routine that feels comfortable enough for you to get into that state where you're receptive.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Because that's what I think of as meditation is prayer is when you're speaking to spirit, essentially, speaking to a higher power, speaking to angels, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Meditation is when you are listening.
Yes.
And the biggest part about listening is staying focused and being very present in the moment. So if you're distracted by things you did 2 weeks ago, something you feel like was stupid that you said in a group of friends, that doesn't matter right now. Or you're worried about what might happen in a month on Christmas Day, on the Christmas meal that you're worried about, or whatever is coming up. Don't worry about it. Just say, okay, right now in these 5 to 10 minutes or 15 to 30 minutes, I don't have to worry about that.
Absolutely. So there are many different types of meditations that you can do. One of them is mindfulness meditations, and that involves heightened awareness and focusing on the present moment without judgment. Practitioners learn to observe thoughts, feelings, and sensations as they arise, developing a non-reactive and accepting attitude towards their experiences. So not attaching emotions to things.
Cool. Another technique would be loving kindness meditation, also known as metta. Metta involves directing well wishes and compassion towards oneself and others. This involves repeating phrases expressing love and goodwill, gradually expanding to include loved ones, acquaintances, and even those whom they may have difficulties with.
Loving kindness meditation is linked to increased feelings of love, joy, and compassion. So regular practice has been associated with reducing negative emotions such as anger and resentment. And this contributes to overall emotional balance and well-being. You know, and this loving kindness meditation totally makes me think of you, G.
Yeah.
Because you always have to send them love. Or if you don't want to send them love, ask God send them love.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody, it doesn't have to be you, but somebody send in love.
Yep. I do that when I'm driving. Send you love. You got to go take a shit. Go ahead. Send in love.
But, you know, I think it's important to recognize that it's a good idea and a good practice to send love to the people that you do have difficulties with, because it's the hurt people that hurt people mentality. You know, if someone is not living a happy life, they don't want anybody to live a happy life.
Yeah. Right.
So if you wish well on those who are angry and hateful and hurtful, and I don't mean like the evil, evil people. I just mean the people who just are snappy and, you know, those are the kind of people. Ask God to send them love. The people who irritate the hell out of you, as God or a higher power or angels or whatever, ask their ancestors, hey, ancestors that belong to this person, can you please send them love? Do something, because it's such a positive way instead of wishing negative things to happen to somebody. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Because that just promotes negativity within yourself.
And that would bring us back to our episode of the law of attraction, right?
Yes. Yeah. And polarity, right?
Polarities, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
Making the sure mirror. That you are putting out good thoughts, nice words, love, and you give it to them and it'll come back to you. So that's a great meditation to do. So another type of meditation is transcendental meditation, or people refer to it as TM. And it is a technique that involves using a specific mantra, a word, or a sound silently repeated during meditation. The mantra serves as a focal point, helping practitioners transcend ordinary thought and reach a state of deep, restful awareness. You know, Jerry Seinfeld is really big into transcendental meditation, and he talks about it often that he's been doing it for 40 years, basically since he was a teenager, and I think he does it twice a day.
Cool. But TM originated in India and was introduced to the West by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi in the 1950s. The practice is grounded in Vedic tradition, emphasizing the naturalness of transcending thought to access the state of pure consciousness and inner calm.
So when people do meditations and they do the om sound, that would be that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's different sounds and chants for each chakra if you want to focus on one. Yeah. But I think it can even just be, if you want to really simplify it. Like sometimes if I'm really struggling to meditate and I'm trying to focus just on my breathing, I'll be like, breathe.
Like over and over again.
Yeah.
Breathe. Yeah.
Breathe.
Am I putting this in?
You can if you want to.
Yes,
sounds like
do.
A creepy caller. Yeah. Like,
right?
The call's coming from inside the house.
Breathe.
But like seriously, it doesn't have to necessarily be. I mean, I guess if you want it to be official,
pick a
transcendental
word.
Meditation.
Yeah. It you can could say be fuck if you want. Fuck.
That's not a calming word for me.
No. That would be a good word though, don't you think?
Well, I mean, not for calm.
If you want to calm yourself,
elicit other feelings.
I would say it, but not when I'm in public. Fuck.
Hey, what that lady saying? Fuck.
I was gonna say, if you did that at the beach, people would be staring
imagine
at you big
that.
Time
for 2 hours.
Cover your ears. Cover your ears.
Man, we're the police officer.
No, I'm just kidding. So another meditation technique is visualization meditation, and this type of meditation harnesses the power of your imagination by guiding you to create vivid mental images. As practitioners engage in positive and calming mental scenarios, the mind relaxes and it's promoting a sense of tranquility and stress reduction. It's kind of like when you – I have this meditation, guided meditation I've done that I've shared with some clients where it's all about like creating the scene where you're going to feel safe and calm before you – because the guided meditation is to meet your spirit guides. Yeah. So it's all about creating whatever the scene is that's going to make you feel comfortable and safe and just like inviting where you want to sit and have a conversation with somebody.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when you add in the visualizations into meditation, it really personalizes it and allows you pretty much to create whatever it is that's going to be best for you as far as imagery.
Yeah. Well, and also because you're practicing using your imagination, that would also, if you're trying to meditate to connect with spirit, that would build your clairvoyance skills too.
Right.
Because it works that same muscle. Just like Nicole said, during visualization meditation, practitioners are led through a series of images or scenarios by a guide, and we all can be your guide, enhancing focus and deepening the meditative experience. Visualization meditation can reduce anxiety, improve concentration, and foster a positive mindset.
Another meditation would be body scan. So another technique would be body scan meditation. And they direct their attention to each body part, usually from head to toe. I want to sing that song. Head to toe. or vice versa. Individuals cultivate mindfulness by concentrating on specific body parts sequentially and deepening their awareness of body sensation, promoting relaxation and presence. The method fosters a heightened mind-body connection, allowing individuals to notice and release tension or discomfort.
Yes, and through focused attention on each body part, practitioners often experience progressive relaxation, reducing overall muscle tension and promoting a state of calm and bodily awareness. And I think when you do this, it does allow you, instead of focusing on your entire body all at once, you're focusing on just certain parts, and you're kind of almost like riding the wave of relaxation, you know. And this is a great thing. Body scan meditation is good to do like as you're going to bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is also a good thing to do if you're feeling off and you're not quite sure why you're feeling off or where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. When you do the body scan, it can help you have a better idea of like exactly what part of your body needs attention. Mm-hmm. And recently I wasn't feeling well, and Kristen made a good point to suggest to me when I did the body scan meditation to communicate with my body and communicate with the energy of my body and ask it what it needs or where do I need to focus my energy or the healing. And that was very helpful.
I'm glad it was. Another method of meditation is Zen meditation. It's a practice in Zen Buddhism, and it emphasizes seated meditation as a direct path to enlightenment. Practitioners engage in silent sitting, redirecting attention inward to attain profound awareness and insight.
Yes, this emphasizes a specific seated posture, typically on a cushion or bench, fostering a stability and alertness. Attention is directed towards the breath, and practitioners focusing on inhalation and exhalation to cultivate mindfulness and maintain concentration during the meditation session.
Yeah, and I believe that the specific seated posture in Zen Buddhism for this Zen meditation is called the Zazen posture. Mm-hmm. So, but I think it's also referred to as Zazen meditation sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, when they also, what are the hand positions, like yoga mudras? Is that what they're called? Mm-hmm. Where you can have that certain hand position that mean different things when you meditate? Is that, I wonder if that's part of Zen meditation.
You know, I don't know.
Because I like to do that sometimes. Or sometimes it's kind of like my hands choose themselves a certain position. I don't even think about it. You know, and a couple times when I looked it up, I was like, oh, that actually makes a lot of sense. But it was, you know, it's like sometimes your body just knows what it needs.
Yeah, I agree. Yep, that does happen every – I want to get one of those posters that show it, because there are times I'll be meditating. I'll look down at my hands. I'll be like, oh, that's interesting. And just like what you said, you look it up and it's like, that totally makes sense with the main focus of the meditation, or like the main purpose of your meditation without you even realizing it.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel like that also, you know, just the concept of the body knows what it needs. And I feel like that also goes back to that body scan meditation where I told you to tune in. Your body knows what it needs. You know, all parts of you have consciousness. So it always is talking to you. We just forget that we can actually tune in and listen.
Absolutely. So another great meditation technique is the chakra meditation. And if you're not familiar with chakras, they're energy centers that are aligned along your spine, and each is associated with specific qualities and functions. There are 7 main chakras, starting from the base of your spine and going all the way up to the crown of your head, and each is linked to physical, emotional, and spiritual aspects of being.
Chakra meditations aim to balance and align these energy centers through focused awareness and intention. You can visualize, chant, or focus on a specific chakra to help the energy flow to that chakra and help it be more open, and that can help facilitate physical well-being in those parts of the bodies that are associated with that chakra. Mm-hmm. And we all, I think you guys do this. I do it when I am prepping for a reading. You know, mm-hmm. I meditate, but part of it is clearing my chakras. I clear all of them. I imagine each of them lighting up. Sometimes mm-hmm. I do an affirmation for each one just so I can feel like I have that clear channel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I make sure my chakras are aligned before I do a reading to make sure that the energy and the information is flowing properly.
Mm-hmm.
Chakra meditation reflects a holistic approach, recognizing the interconnectedness of mental, emotional, and physical aspect of well-being. By incorporating chakra-focused meditation, individuals seek to enhance their inner balance, address energetic blockage, and promote spiritual growth.
Yes. So like we were saying, you know, when you clear them, that allows you to connect better to yourself, but also to spirit or your higher self. You can't connect as well when your chakras are blocked.
Right. So guided meditation is another great technique for meditation. It involves an instructor like one of us leading you all through a scripted or an improvised session. And the instructor provides verbal cues, directing participants on where to focus their energy and guiding them through various aspects of the meditation.
So guided meditations often incorporate visualizations. So this could fall under just visualization meditation too, but it's guided by somebody else. And guided meditations often have participants imagine calming scenes or experiences. Instructors use narrative to create a mental journey, helping people to relax, build their mindfulness, and often using positive affirmations or insights for personal growth.
I like guided meditations.
Yeah, I do too. They're good. And especially when you're You like giving it. Okay.
Yeah.
That is. Yeah, I can't. I can do guided meditations that you give us, G.
Yeah.
But there's like some guided meditation, you know, like you go on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I remember people are like, oh, yeah, I find guided meditations on YouTube all the time. Some of them make me laugh so hard.
Is it when they're trying too hard to like, their voice is different? Yes, I can't.
Now let's close our eyes.
That I cannot stand. I can't. It's like, maybe they're trying to be yourself.
Prolong the 1 hour.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe that might be what some people need.
True.
You know? But like when it's too excessive like that, mm-hmm. I just can't help but laugh.
Yes.
So there's lots of different people out there that give mm-hmm. guidance. Don't give up on just the first few that you hear. You'll find someone that resonates with you, whose voice you feel comfortable with, whose voice you feel safe with, who you trust to listen to and move through that meditative state with trust.
Yeah. That's such a good
point. Maybe we should make a event.
We should do a guided meditation. I also thought about doing like a mini class, you know, once a month. That'd where people just listen coming to a guided meditation. That's it, like a longer one. But
hey, if that's something you're interested in, leave a comment on our Instagram reel connected to this episode, or leave a comment on this podcast episode.
Yeah.
And let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be really fun to do. But Nicole, I like what you said about really being patient and finding one that you like. Mm-hmm. I think that is really, really important, because if you're not feeling it, you are not going to get into that place.
So. Yeah, and some people might not become – you might find somebody who you like the voice, but you don't like the music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or you like the music and you don't like the voice. Just keep trying. There's lots of free guided meditations online. There's lots of great practitioners who have – it's totally worth the $1.50 or whatever to pay for the meditation or whatever it is. But keep trying until you find someone you feel comfortable with, if you feel like guided meditation is what you need. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's needed in the beginning for you to have an idea of how to kind of self-talk in your own meditation.
That is true, because I used to be able to do guided ones when I first started. Mm-hmm. Now I couldn't do it from someone else. I can give one, but I feel like it would be hard for me now to listen to somebody else, if that makes sense, because I have my own narrative I'm so used to. that mm-hmm. gets me into my zone quickly.
So another technique would be mantra meditation. So this involves the rhythmic repetition of a specific sound, word, or phrase mantra during the meditation practice, like Om, right? Mm-hmm. Is that one of them?
Yeah, and I think some of them, this might be more like chanting stuff, but it's similar to that one that we mentioned earlier.
Transcendental. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The repetition serves as a focal point, helping to quiet the mind, enhance concentration, and induce a meditative state.
Yes, mantra meditation is rooted in lots of different cultural and religious traditions, including Hinduism, Buddhism, like we mentioned before, mm-hmm. and Jainism, each with its unique set of mantras. And the practice has ancient roots with historical significance in Vedic traditions. It has evolved over centuries and has been adapted in lots of different spiritual and secular contexts worldwide, showcasing its universal appeal and adaptability. So you've probably heard lots of different, like the one that we keep referring to is the Om. There's mm-hmm. lots of other sounds that people will make, and it might even be I think sometimes even they incorporate like patting of the body or, you know, like some people will pat on their chest or hum or just like rocking and things like that.
So like there's lots of different something. Mm-hmm. Ooh, we should definitely mention, because some people might not know what Om is.
And that is?
Om is supposed to be the sound and vibration of the universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they chant that or do that when they're trying to get in an enlightened state, because that vibration helps you connect with the vibration of the universe.
Yes.
So a meditation that I do often is a walking meditation. And a walking meditation involves bringing mindfulness to the act of walking. This is when you focus on the sensations of each step, the movement of the body, and the surrounding environment. And it merges the act of walking with a meditative state. Now, when I do it, I like to kind of take in the nature scene around me. And I like to imagine breathing in Earth's atmosphere, air, healing energy as I walk. And I like to really feel like that connection, like it was saying, with your feet each step. And it is really relaxing.
And it really represents the whole core mindset behind meditation, just being focused on the present moment.
Right. Yeah. It forces you to do that even more so, I think, when you walk. So if you're somebody who really has a hard time sitting still in meditation, you know, start with a walking one.
So walking meditation can reduce stress and promote relaxation, offering a dynamic alternative to seated meditation. Practitioners can follow various techniques such as mindful pacing, focusing on the breath, or using specific walking path. The key is maintaining a heightened awareness of each step and the present moment, fostering a sense of calm and mindfulness amid movement.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be walking. Like you can be doing other physical activities.
Sure, you can wash dishes.
Yeah, I was supposed to say. I was going to say dishes.
Folding laundry. You know, vacuuming. Yeah. Actually, vacuuming is one of my favorite times to just like be very present.
Well, the vibration and, like, of the vacuum too, you know.
Yeah. Is it? Oh. Almost.
Just pretend it is. Yeah.
Okay. So breathwork meditation emphasizes conscious control of your breathing patterns to enhance your mindfulness and bring you to a more meditative state. Mm-hmm. It centers on the intentional regulation of your breath and highlights the interconnectedness of your breath, your body, and your mind. When you really start to pay attention, like I'm going to be completely honest. So I have asthma that's triggered by allergies, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. It can be very – it freaks me out sometimes when I first start doing breath work. Because, like, I will start to panic sometimes.
Oh. Is it you don't realize how bad you're breathing until you –
Yes. Yes. Like, I will be like, oh, wait, I'm not breathing right. Or, like, when I'm doing the counting, I'll feel like, oh, wait, did I breathe in enough? I'll overthink it at first. So if that happens with you, just give yourself some time and some practice.
Mm-hmm. So when you're doing breathwork meditation, it's diaphragmatic breathing and it's rhythmic breathing, and you count to establish a comfortable and a focused pace. You know, diaphragmatic breathing, I mean, we should be doing that anyway.
Yeah, but
we
don't.
Yes.
I think it's so weird because I remember when we were young, me and G, I don't know if this is how it was for you too. I remember like being taught you're not supposed to breathe with your belly. You're supposed to breathe with your chest. I don't know where I learned that from.
Because that's the diaphragm, like, under the ribs.
Yeah, but so that to me is belly breathing. So like, because my chest, I feel like if I'm not raising my chest, I'm not properly breathing.
Yeah, sorry. That's what I was trying to say. You're supposed to breathe from the ribs, which you're right, is the same as belly breathing, which is also the same thing as diaphragmatic breathing.
When you learn to breathe into your belly and then let it like expand it, fill your lungs from the bottom up. Mm-hmm. It's like, holy shit. Different. I've been breathing wrong my entire life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've only been using a very small percentage of my lungs.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so why a big part of it is like with COVID, mm-hmm. I did breath work like crazy before I got it and while I had it because I was like so afraid with having asthma that like my lungs would not expand. So I had been doing a lot of practice as soon as the news came out about that of expanding, like feeling my rib cage just like, and it will pop my back sometimes.
Yeah.
Like I've had that.
It's crazy.
Yeah, especially if you have something a little bit out. Is it, you know, and then when you really expand, it's boop, just goes right back into place. Well, that's good.
Dizzy.
While you're doing your diaphragmatic breathing, I really like that word, by the way.
Diaphragmatic?
Yeah. Making sure that you are paying attention to the physical sensations. And again, like we were talking about, really feeling those ribs expand, the lungs filling up. You know, and even when, you know, when I'm – was a group exercise teacher for, I don't know, 13 years and personal trainer. When I would make people concentrate on their breath when they work out, everything's harder, you know?
Yes.
And then you use your core more and everything. So there is a little bit of, you know, contracting of the muscles down there, but it makes such a difference in everything, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's funny because, you know, was it a week or so, 2 weeks now, I guess, I went to the gym with my husband and our friend to lift weights just to see what they do. And our friend was like, okay, now you breathe in when you like go in one direction and then you exhale when you go in the other direction. Mm-hmm. I would get so confused.
Sort of. It's the contraction like I would be like, phase you're supposed to exhale, I think.
Well, like in whatever the direction was, I was supposed to exhale in the other direction. I'm supposed to inhale. And I was like, okay, wait a minute. Now, then I start to overthink. Wait a minute. Did I exhale that last time or am I supposed to? And then it's just too much thinking sometimes.
Well, honestly, it's better to just to breathe no matter what.
Exhale.
Because most time people will try to hold their breath, which just can trigger this. It's like a Valsalva maneuver, which can really raise your blood pressure. So just making sure you're breathing is most important. But there are sometimes a certain contraction and lengthening phases you are supposed to do one or the other. But again, you were breathing, Nicole, so that's step one. You got it checked off.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the same thing like in the yoga class, which just so happens to be the friend's wife teaches my yoga classes that I go to. And she's like, okay, inhale in this direction and exhale in this direction. And I will like screw up the motion because I'm too worried if I'm inhaling or exhaling.
Right.
That just shows you I cannot multitask when it comes to my physical body. I'm so disconnected from my physical body. It's ridiculous. I need to be exercising more.
Well, it's okay. And you know what? It's funny is even though it's hard. Mm-hmm. So even as you age, you know, it's really good to do like physical activity mixed with a mental thing because it really helps keep those connections in the brain going. So it helps you have, you know, a less chance of dementia or your brain slipping by doing those hard things, Nicole. So maybe you won't lose your memory.
So I'm working on my mind-body connection.
Yeah. Yep. Keep doing it. Right. Yeah.
So when you practice breath work meditation, it will activate the relaxation responses, reducing stress and promoting a calm state. It also enhances focus and mental clarity by anchoring attention to the present moment. Practicing breathwork meditation contributes to emotional balance, encouraging self-control in responding to situations.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we hope that you enjoyed this episode about meditation. You know, you hear us talk about it constantly through almost every single episode. And now we have been able to share all these different options for you to try out and explore to see what would fit best for you. So remember, it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. Explore, give yourself some time to try it and create a practice of your own that works best for you and whatever the intention is for your meditation. Just set the intention before you start the meditation and don't judge yourself when the laundry list of things that need to happen come through. Acknowledge it, brush it aside, and say, I'll get back to it when I'm done with this meditation.
Yep. Yes. Previously on the spiritual rabbit hole.
Dun, dun, dun.
We discuss universal laws. We highly
recommend all 12 of them.
Yep.
They are fascinating. So we highly recommend that you go and listen to that.
Yep. But you know what? Our next episode will be focusing on manifestation.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. We'll be sharing how manifestation works and how manifestation uses the law of attraction and different techniques in manifesting. So do tune in.
Now, keep in mind, our manifestation episode is our last episode of season 2.
Wah, wah. The holidays.
It's the holidays.
We're going to take a little break and rev up and prep for season 3. Boop, boop,
boop. In our little break, it's a good time for you to go back and re-listen to all of our episodes so you are well-versed in everything.
And don't worry, there's lots of blog posts to help you along your spiritual journey.
Mm-hmm. We are talking about, correct me if I'm wrong, doing another event for you all at some point, right? In between the season and the next. So make sure you look for that.
And we got to get that Facebook group up.
And we're going to finish the Facebook group for you all to chat with each other.
That might be a Christmas gift for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Merry Christmas.
Yep.
Happy New Year.
All right. So we're so, 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 so glad that you joined us here at the Spiritual Rabbit Hole. Remember, your time with us doesn't have to end here.
Keep exploring at soulonavoyage.com for more spiritual resources and services. And remember, subscribe.
So you can take advantage of everything. Follow us on Instagram at soulonavoyage. Thanks for being part of our spiritual community. Love ya.
Peace out.
Bye for now.